audio version of Michael Laitman's blog. December 7th, 2019. Take me to the spiritual world through the center of the ten. It seems to us that a person of strong faith should always find the strength to withstand any state and never lose connection with the Creator, whether in sadness or in joy, as if nothing can shake or knock the person off eternal adhesion. But in reality, this is not so. A person striving for the Creator experiences constant changes. One must feel growing weakness within oneself, but at the same time, know how to achieve increased confidence and adhesion with the Creator. Therefore, one advances and adds all the time. However, if one feels no such changes within oneself, powerlessness and uncertainty, dissents, and fear, straying from the right path toward the Creator and the purpose of life, if one is not concerned about that, then it is actually an important reason for concern. A person needs to engage in the group as quickly as possible with all one's might, in order to begin receiving the surrounding light through it, which changes a person. If we think that everything is fine and there is nothing to worry about, then this is the time to get concerned. One, in our world, we consider a person as strong if he advances without feeling heavily burdened. They put an additional 10 kilograms on his back, and he keeps on going. Another 20 kilograms, he keeps on going as if nothing happened. We consider such a person to be heroic and strong. In spirituality, however, it is the opposite. A hero is the one who is sensitive to each gram that is added to one's load and instantly turns to the Creator with a request to correct the lack of confidence and for the force of bestowal. Spiritual advancement is measured differently, in increased sensitivity. The Creator keeps adding difficulties to us in quality and quantity, and we always have the opportunity to ask Him for new strength through the environment and to thus advance. Advancement on the path depends solely on the changes felt by a person, which the Creator awakens in each person. Each time, I have to realize where my weakness lies, and how to be strengthened in order to advance. Clearly, I lack faith, the force of bestowal. Therefore, I need the environment and the Creator more and more, so that I can contribute to the environment, turn to the Creator through it, and thus continue on the path. Everyone needs to check what changes the Congress has made in them. One might feel detached, another being pulled in, the third one may have a blurry mind and feelings. Some might be unable to find themselves in the ten, to look at the friends, to feel them, to find them in one's heart like before. Participation in a bigger ten had such an effect on him that he stopped feeling the previous connection with his friends. There are a lot of post-Congress phenomena which cannot be ignored while waiting for you to return to your usual track. I need to check what is happening to me and why, what kind of an effect the Congress had on me. It is very important. Everyone in the 10 feels differently, and we must examine whether we can return to the previous state, or if this new state is much brighter, loftier, and more intense. We began to better appreciate the connection between us, and understand why we are returning to our 10 to be together. We do not just follow the advice of the Kabbalists, we begin to realize that without it, we will have no confidence or strength to advance, we will have no place to draw strength from or to turn to the Creator. The 10 becomes a spiritual source, a spring. We feel how we can stabilize ourselves within it, and resume our corrections. Each of us carries a special quality, like 10 Sephirot, and that is why we are very different. But we are connected by the common work, the common goal. Thus, out of 10 people and no less, we can form a perfect way to relate to the Creator. The 10 turns into a kli, an instrument we can use to change things with, to influence or become connected to a wider or higher level. The center of the 10 is the tiny eye of a needle through which I enter the spiritual world. To do so, I must restrict all my thoughts and desires, compressing them into a single point, so that they would take me into the upper world through the center of the 10. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, November 16th, 2019, Hardening of the Heart. Family and Marriage, Part 13. Soulmates. Question: how did it come about that a person has a family and relatives? Answer: everything comes from the spiritual system. Question: are they soulmates? Answer: yes, they are close. At some level, they are fueled by you. You must nourish them, in a sense, take care of them. Maybe with time it will come about in both material and spiritual form. Question: according to Kabbalah, a person must take care of his family. There is even such commandment. What should the relationship with relatives, aunts, uncles, grandmothers, and grandfathers be? Answer: at present, our formation on the spiritual path is taking place. I think that later, when the masses will come to a spiritual state, the structure of relations along spiritual lines will accordingly be established. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, January 1, 2019. Blitz of Kabbalah Tips, September 7, 2019, Part 1. Question: with what intention should I come to the 10? Is it that I cannot be without them, or they cannot be without me? Answer: you cannot be without them. That is for sure. Question: what is the difference between agreeing with the governance of the Creator and accepting the Kingdom of Heaven? Answer: it is the same, the next degree above us. Question: we work with the Creator. He gives darkness to our 10, brings us to the working state, and we respond to Him with a light. He gives us even more darkness, we return to Him even more light. How can we include the world into this cycle? How can we stop working in this wonderful feeling? I, the 10, the Creator, the 10, I. Answer: when the darkness and the light are equal for you, you will be able to correctly work with the entire world. Question: how does the connection of opposites happen? Answer: it is from above. Question: what is the most effective way to use the state of excitement and ascent to learn from the states of descent, to add even more connection and fill the gaps between us? Answer: only in the group. If you do this together, you will certainly receive the center of the group and find a solution in it. Question: how can we create the center of the circle to see and feel it, and to raise a prayer from it? Answer: take one friend, then a second and a third one. Do not take 10 at once. Try to assemble a triangle from them, then a polygon, and when you master this, you will gradually reach a circle. From Lesson 4, World Kabbalah Convention in Moldova, September 7, 2019. Rejoice in what we lack / work in concealment. What is the real solution to anti-Semitism? Talk with Shaul Majid.
I think it's a very big question whether we should see anti-Semitism as sui generis, meaning that is the hatred or antipathy toward the Jew or towards Jews or towards Judaism, is it categorically different than the hatred of any people toward any other people? Do we see anti-Semitism as a part of a larger problem of prejudice and hatred that human beings have toward one another, which they probably have had toward the beginning of time? Or do we see it as something special? I think that Dr. Lightman is offering a theory that there's something sui generis about anti-Semitism, and it goes back to the Abrahamic origins and the idea of interconnectedness and the way in which people over time have had both difficult resistance toward that interconnectedness, and also the way Jews who carry that Abrahamic mandate have not expressed and exemplified that kind of interconnectedness through their experience as Jews and through Judaism. And again, I think that's a really fascinating way of thinking about it. But I would say, in terms of questions of solutions, is there a solution to anti-Semitism? No, I don't think there is. I don't think there's a solution to prejudice. I mean, I think that...
So that's
the question.
Why?
Why? There is an excellent solution to anti-Semitism. It is that Jews themselves will begin to follow that human connection that Abraham was talking about, love covers all crimes and so forth, rising above all of the conflicts, hatred, division between them. This is what is called crimes, that they will cover it with love, with greater connection, with adhesion with each other, and by that they will radiate that peace towards the world to a state called the final correction.
Yeah, I mean, I hear that, but you know, that is very, very similar to the Christian message, because that was basically what Jesus was teaching in the gospel, right? As a Jew, as maybe an inheritor of the Abrahamic tradition, the idea of love, of loving the enemy, the idea of interconnectedness is precisely what Christianity in its origins had basically professed.
We don't need to love the enemy. What we need to do is correct ourselves. Then we'll see that we actually don't have enemies, because our mutual hatred and conflicts, that is what births the enemies in the world towards us.
No, I understand that, and there is, by the way, there is a rendering of that message of Jesus, which is precisely what you said, that when we fix ourselves, we'll realize that we don't actually have any enemies. But in any event, I don't want to kind of get into that. That's a whole other thing.
To me, it doesn't matter if someone said this or said that. I myself didn't study Jesus, and I don't intend to, because many can write and speak in his name. What I'm talking about is what our inner Torah is actually about, what the internality of Kabbalah talks about from generation to generation to this day. This is what the Book of Zohar talks about. This is what the ancient texts are talking about. And so that's irrelevant to what Jesus has to say in that regards.
You know, that's true. I think that in a way, and this actually speaks closer to it simply because of Rabbi Ashlag's relationship to communism, for example. I think that communism too makes that argument to some degree. And that's why I think that Rabbi Ashlag had so much sympathy toward communism, because he saw that it was a social manifestation of what he considered to be a Kabbalistic secret in a certain way. I guess the question then we could ask is why, you know, the fact that these different experiments at the solution to the problem of not only anti-Semitism, but the solution of inter-ethnic hatred, the solution of racial hatred, the solution of bigotry, never seemed to actually be able to grow roots deep enough to sustain a civilization toward that goal. That human beings, and this goes back to the Kabbalah as well, in terms of the relationship between the Sitra Achra, the Yetzara, all of those kinds of things, right? So we're always struggling with that challenge of the fallibility.
What we're actually struggling with is the human ego. That's the true meaning of the devil or the Sitra Achra, the other side, or all those terms. There's nothing more to battle with than the human ego. And if we manage to do it correctly through helping each other, we have to convince ourselves first that there is no other choice. It's either we win against our ego and begin to form a connection above that. That's what Abraham was talking about. That's what's called love covers all crimes. And, or, as it says, this will become your burial place, one of the two. And so what I'm seeing is that we're in a state where we don't really have a choice. I used to write about anti-Semitism happening in America 15 years ago, about 15 years ago, as I wrote about the European Union coming to a crisis within 20 years. And these things, unfortunately, are happening, but it's not because I have some prediction spirit. It's because there's laws of nature that can certainly foresee and predict what's happening.
What is the real solution to anti-Semitism? Talk with Shaul Majid. Shaul Majid, the distinguished fellow in Jewish studies at Dartmouth College, meets Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman to discuss anti-Semitism and find the most efficient way to solve it. The solution to anti-Semitism lies in establishing loving connections between Jews according to the principle love covers all transgressions. What would be considered a transgression in this case? And how can the connection between the Jewish people make the nations of the world not hate them? There are two forces operating reality: negative, exponentially growing human ego, and positive, the force connection between people. 3,800 years ago, atop of the deep crisis of human relations in Babylon, called out by a sudden eruption of human ego, Abraham found that connecting to operating forces of reality and setting the positive force above the negative one gives us a chance to reveal godliness, a force of love and bestowal, called in Kabbalah the Creator. Out of the 70 nations in ancient Babylon, Abraham collected a group that implemented his method. Later on, that groups received the name Jews from Yehudi, United. Since that time, Jews carry in themselves a method that can bring the world to balance and let the good enter it. Taking into account the current situation in all areas, it's time to implement that method. First, Jews have to re-establish connections between them, love your neighbor as yourself, and then share this connection over the globe to be light unto the nations. If the Jewish people start following initial Abraham's teaching, love covers all transgressions and rise above conflicts and divisions between them, considered transgressions, godliness will enter the world, and Jews will have no enemies and haters anymore, as they will fulfill their deep-rooted role in the system of nature we are all parts of. This will be a true solution to anti-Semitism. However, if Jews fail to perform their role, they can expect to continue facing rising anti-Semitism, even to a point of a new Holocaust. Male and female, part 7. Husband and wife come from the same environment. Remark: according to Kabbalah, there is the law of equivalence of form, which says that we should seek a partner with whom we have a common foundation and qualities. My comment: yes, it is necessary. It is advisable to look for a partner who came from the same environment as you, and who is close to you. Remark: however, Kabbalah also says that the connection of opposites gives a bigger and better effect. My comment: we do not need effects. We need peace and a normal existence. We are talking about the family. I need my wife to understand my tastes and habits, to feel me, because she herself saw something similar in the society where she developed. If I marry a woman from the other side of the earth, it might work out, but we always will have some misunderstandings on a purely instinctive level. Question: do you still recommend that there should be similarity of properties? Answer: yes. In principle, we see this from the Torah, when Abraham advised the young men to bring themselves wives from the same places they came from. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, December 31st, 2018.